Hey, y'all, it's Lark
and Kim
from Kudzu Killers, Homicide and Sweet Tea, and we're pleased to announce our brand new show, Two Chicks and a Crucifix.
We're going to have a good time yakking about paranormal phenomena like ghosts
and monsters and conspiracy theories
and Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
You know I'm partial to Bigfoot.
Right. Anyway, we hope you come listen to our new paranormal show and have some fun
in 2021. See, I'm a poet and I didn't know it.
Stop it.
You'll be the ghostest with the mostest.
Cut it out.
We love parapsychology and cryptozoology.
Y'all, and welcome back to Kudzu Killers, Homicide and Sweet Tea. Thank y'all for joining us today. It's our Forensic Friday. And as you know, I'm Lark, and my best buddy is with me. Say hey, Kim.
Hey, Kim.
So I think I hope I have an interesting story for us today. Lately, all over the place, I have been reading about a lot of people who are attracted to serial killers or murderers just in general. And it's like, I can't go a day without seeing this pop up somewhere.
Yeah. Crazy women.
Well, you know, lots of folks seem to like to correspond with these people for one reason or the other. And even men do it, but I think men do it for a little bit of a different reason. They're doing it for a different reason. They're not corresponding with these men out of love. I'm talking about the ones who really fall for these psychos. I'm talking about L-O-V-E love, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did you know that even cult leader Charles Manson, at 80 years old, Kim, he got a marriage license from prison to marry a 26-year-old girl by the name of Afton Elaine Burton. Now, he called her Star. Doesn't that just make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, he called off the wedding when he found out that she was hoping that she would gain possession of his body, of his corpse, through the marriage.
So she could do what? Reincarnate him?
Oh, no, you're going to love it.
Necromancing?
No. She and a couple of her friends were hoping that they could put the body on display in a glass case in L.A. and make a lot of money as a tourist attraction.
Sort of like Lennon's tomb, huh?
I know. I mean, hey, she's entrepreneurial. I got to give it to her, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's the most far-fetched one I've heard of. Because, I mean, others with tons of prison groupies include Jeffrey Dahmer, Richard Ramirez, and Ted Bundy. I mean, you know, Bundy married his most staunch admirer during his capital murder trial.
He had a kid with her.
Yeah, he did. But you know, I don't know if you remember this part, but he actually proposed from I don't know if you'd call it the stand because he was defending himself, but he made a big O to da, do da while he was defending himself.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And proposed to her. And then they had a child. I was like, oh my God. And then there was also.
His genes are running around here.
That's really a scary thought.
Not to say there's anything wrong with a little girl, or she's not a little girl now. I guess she's probably in her 30s, huh?
Well, I'm sure we don't want to dox her there because
no,
I wouldn't want to.
Not at all.
So anyway, there's also Army Doctor Jeffrey McDonald, the Green Beret killer, and Scott Peterson, who we all love to hate. But both of them were convicted for killing their pregnant wives, as we know. And they are known to attract tons of women professing their undying love. And even, this just really irks me, this one, notorious terrorists like Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, with him and his older brother murdered and maimed nearly 300 people.
Yeah.
He still gets love letters.
I'm sure. I'm sure he does.
And he's on death row. I mean, what the heck, man? So,
well, I think I wonder sometimes I wonder if it's not sort of a kind of like Munchausen's sort of thing in that, oh, I marry this serial killer everybody knows about and I get some my face in the papers and people know who I am and I get some attention for it.
Well, see, that's what you'd think. And that's kind of one of my theories. But I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what doctors think. And that never really that's. Kind of aspect never really comes up. It's a lot more deeper than that and twisted, which is sad and sick. But, you know, in other words, there's just no crime that's horrific enough to repulse these girls. And they're just obsessed with the need to feel close to heinous criminals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is just, it just amazes me. So I had to look into it more. And there's actually a diagnostic term for this urge or desire, and it is called hybristophilia.
It means crazy ass girls.
Well, expert criminologists and mental health professionals define hybristophilia in a scientific way. So, hey, Miss Science, here we go, all right?
Okay.
It's a syndrome in which sexual arousal and attraction to another depends on having a partner known to have committed an outrage such as armed robbery, rape, or murder. So in layman's term, hybristophilia is most often a female being attracted to bad boys. Or
you only know, really, really bad boys.
Well, yeah. They call it Bonnie and Clyde syndrome also.
Although I think Bonnie was kind of just as bad as Clyde.
Well, yeah, but that's, well, she was, but I'm going to break that down a little bit more here in a second, too. So compared to other sexually deviant behaviors, hybristophilia is quite unusual in that it's more common in women than in men. And according to the Love Art History website, there are two types of hybristophiles, passive and aggressive. And that comes down to what you're saying about Bonnie and Clyde.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the passive one comprises those individuals who have no desire to participate in criminal activity themselves, but they're sexually attracted to criminals. And they're more like your prison groupies and serial killer groupies, right?
Okay.
So these women are usually delusional and will try to find an excuse for what the criminal did. They'll develop relationships with the criminal and feel that they are special, like you said,
mm-hmm.
that even though their lover may have killed numerous people, he would never harm her. They usually feel that they can change their lover and have rescue fantasies. So a passive hybristophiliac tends to put themselves in positions to be seduced, manipulated, and lied to by the people they fall for. I mean, what a perfect storm, right? They're talking right. to the ultimate liars. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my
God. Do they say anything about self-esteem in there? Do they have low self-esteem? So when these guys talk sweet to them and everything, it just really...
Yes, I'm going to touch on that a little bit later when we break down the list of all the
I'm just kind of going through all the stuff I can think of someone who would fall for that sort of thing.
Well, you're right. And that's at the top of the list as we get down to the list. So we're right now we're comparing passive to aggressive. And the aggressive hybristophiliac comprises of those individuals who actively help, typically the male criminal, to commit the crime. And such people, usually females, this is what they'll do. They help out their lovers with their criminal agenda by luring the victims. Think about it.
Yeah, I can see that.
Hiding the bodies, covering the crimes, or even committing the crimes.
Mm-hmm.
They are attracted to their lovers because of their violent actions and want to receive love, yet are unable to understand that their lovers are psychopaths who are manipulating them. Both passive and aggressive hybristophiliacs tend to end up in abusive or unhealthy relationships. Well, gee, you think?
Well, it could have something to do with the people they go after. Yeah.
Well, you got to have a screw loose to go after them in the first place. No offense, because I know there's lots
I'm going to agree with you.
Lots of folks out there that think it's super cool, but I just think it's, you know, it's dancing too close.
Super crazy.
Hey, it's dancing too close to the flame for me. I'm sorry.
To the devil, yeah.
You know, no. So hybristophilia has not really been thoroughly researched by scientists, but the phenomena has been observed in cases that are mostly high profile criminals, including Manson, like we said, in layman mm-hmm. terms. Again, hybristophilia is most often a female's being attracted to bad boys. Now, Catherine Ramsland, a professor of forensic psychology and criminal justice at DeSales University, she's written extensively on hybristophilia and has some fascinating conclusions about women who seek men who are incarcerated for life. Now, I know that we've probably all made a few of these little jokes here and there, but here comes what you just asked about. She does cite that the women mostly have low esteem or they lack a father figure. There's several odd dynamics here. She also believes that some may see the convict as the little boy he once was and seek to mother him. Other prison groups. Yeah. Yeah. I feel sad for a lot of these guys, the way they were treated as children, but I'm not about to take that on.
No.
So other prison groupies may think they can actually change the man. Don't all these women?
Oh, girl. I know people like that think they can take on a guy who's got lots of issues and make them different, change them to a better person. And it doesn't work that way, people.
Well, I think I know the person you speak of, but we'll move on. It's not me, in case y'all want to know. It's not me. Anyway. They also think they can convert him into a better person. I can change him.
Yes, that's what they think.
You know, I mean, he don't want to be changed, y'all. So another hypothesis of Professor Ramsland is that the man is seen as the perfect boyfriend. Imagine.
Yeah, because he's in jail and he can't get out.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Same reason that men go after and some women go after married spouses
folks.
Because
yeah.
they're safe.
Yeah, they're locked down.
Yeah, they're married. They're in a permanent kind of situation, mm-hmm. sort of. And mm-hmm. so they're a safe one to sleep around with.
I would do anything for you if I was just free. Oh, mm-hmm. bullshit. So, yeah. Excuse me. Anyway, so just...
We'll cut that one.
She goes on to say the woman knows where he's at all time, as you said. And she knows he's thinking about her, right? He's writing her love letters, pouring mm-hmm. out his undying attention, his undivided attention. He's constantly whispering sweet nothings and making plans about how beautiful it will be when he gets together with her. Yada, yada, yada.
And asking for little small favors.
Of course he is. Money for his whatever, his commissary, I think they call it. And also, too, she can claim that someone loves her.
Mm-hmm. I have a boyfriend.
Well, not just I have a boyfriend. It's like someone loves her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And look at all the love letters he writes me and blah, blah, blah. And plus, she doesn't have to endure any of the day-to-day issues involved in most relationships. She don't have to wash his dirty drawers, y'all. Mm-hmm. There's no laundry to do. There's no cooking for him. There's no accountability to him. And she can keep the fantasy charged for a long time. You know.
Like reading your own private romance novel.
Well, right. Well, actually, let's talk about that in a minute because there's more to that comment. You must be psychic, Kim.
I am. I keep telling everybody that, but they don't believe me.
I believe you. Well, then there's Professor Ramsland's more cynical theory that the woman wants to profit from being the girlfriend of a notorious prisoner by selling her story for a book or a movie deal, or in our case of our star, charging to have a peep at a dead Charlie Manson's decrepit old body. I mean, what a plan. I kind of
love it.
Step
on up to the window here.
I know.
Behind the black curtain.
I know.
It cost you a quarter.
I know. That's all I could think of. And I thought, you know what? This girl,
she's an entrepreneur.
That's what I said. Because you know what? I was going to mention this later, but because he's on death row, she doesn't even have to sleep with him. No conjugal, no touching, no nothing. So, you know, hey, it's safe. Anyway, so meanwhile, back to our little list. So other mental health experts have compared infatuation with killers to extreme forms of fanaticism. They view such women as insecure females, there you go, mm-hmm. who cannot find love in normal ways, or as love-avoidant females who seek romantic relationships that cannot be consummated. Yeah, like I say, Charles Manson didn't get his nookie on because he was on death row. So theories on why women do this vary depending on the mental health expert you speak to. Again, some view these women as living in a fantasy land in which they can engage in a mental love affair while they know that the prison bars keep them safe, like you said, from the actual consummation of the relationship. Like we said before, not necessarily sex, but it's a fantasy.
Right.
It really is. And I was thinking about these women who are catfished because they are buying into a pen pal kind of long distance fantasy with somebody who's talking sweet words, you know, just like a prisoner. They'll call up, they'll talk to you on the phone. You'll hear the smooth talk, you know,
they're lonely.
Yeah.
They're sad and they need somebody. So it fits all their little check marks. They have no, they have no responsibility and no.
It's a little bit different than loving somebody in as a prisoner, but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's one of the ways that they prey on these sadly older women for the most part. Anyway, so some women and teenagers especially want to find a partner who fits that bad boy image. I mean, everybody, that's a fantasy, okay? But some of these people take it really too far. You know, the sexy bad boy, right?
Right, yeah.
And so, you know, maybe the women fall for the bad boys because they're forbidden, the ultimate taboo, so then becoming the ultimate aphrodisiac. But consequently, those women who do not grow out of the bad boy fixation, they become a hybristophile. That's part of what happens. They don't grow out of it. You know, something happens to traumatize them, as we said before, daddy issues, etc. So because the image is so strongly paired with sexual arousal, they need to be with a notorious partner to achieve sexual pleasure. Just speculation. Again, not a lot of research is done on this. But from an evolutionary perspective, maybe these women have some kind of unconscious biological drive that would view any children of such men as having a better chance of survival.
Well, yeah. I can kind of see that. I still think it's kind of twisted, but.
Well, I do too. But, you know, they really don't know. So a lot of this is just speculation. So when I say it's speculation, it's not necessarily all my speculation. It's everybody's.
Right.
So, you know, maybe hybristophiles have submissive traits. And as the Love Art History website also speculates, they are narcissistic enablers who are attracted to power. Now, I kind of like that little theory right there. It kind of says it in a nutshell, really, to me. And then psychologist Leon F. Seltzer has offered explanations for the phenomena of male serial killers attracting female sex partners based on evolutionary psychology. Serial killers, in his view, are cases of alpha males that tend to attract women. This is because such males were good at protecting women and their offspring, according to evolutionary history. He says that women today may consciously realize that it's unwise to date a serial killer. Gee, okay.
You think?
But that they are nevertheless attracted to them. And he stated, as a therapist, quote, "I've encountered many women who bemoan their vulnerability towards dominant men, who consciously they recognize were wrong for them," end quote.
But not all alpha male guys
are serial killers.
Are serial killers.
Well, of course not.
And not all alpha male guys are abusive, and not all of them, you know, beat on women and things like that. So what is the trigger that makes them go over the edge?
I think it's layers of things, personally. I really think it's a lot of these combinations of things. But I think deep down inside, it is a lot of this thought, I can fix him, little boy thing, daddy thing, or that he's safe on the other side of those bars.
Well, I just mean the men in general, too, though. What causes, it's another show. It's a different discussion, but what pushes the guy to the alpha male, you know, most alpha males aren't abusive and they don't murder people and they don't become serial killers. So what creates that is what I was trying to say, but which is off topic. So ignore me.
Well, you know, I think that there's always, there are many, many different recipes for one soup, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
So anyway, as evidence of women's fantasy preference for dominant men, and I found this interesting for me and you, he refers to a book called, a book by the title of A Billion Wicked Thoughts, What the World's Largest Experiment Reveals About Human Desire. Mm-hmm. And it's by two research scientists by the name of Augie Ogoss and Cy Gottam. And I wanted to tell y'all more about the book, but we don't have time. So I'm going to do that actually at length in another show because it's really awesome. So Seltzer discusses August and Gottam's argument that this fantasy is the dominant plot of most erotic romance books and movies written for women. You may want to comment to that, Kim.
Well, I don't find that in most erotic novels that I edit, because I do edit a lot of erotica.
Well,
but there are certain tropes and certain characters that people want to read, and some folks like to read the BDSM kind of stuff where the guy is super alpha and kind of treats them crappy.
Well,
you know,
according to these two guys, the fantasy always holds that the male dominance is conditional. It doesn't really represent the man's innermost reality.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So again, I found this book fascinating, but we don't have enough time. So I'm going to do something else later that y'all will probably love because it goes to more psychology. I think those shows are interesting. So anyway, to wrap all this up here, I feel like there are always the people out there looking to make a quick buck, like Star and who wanted to be Mrs. Star Manson.
Who wanted to do the Manson tune.
I love that.
I can see the trailer, the tractor trailer with the big thing on the back and decorated with his face, you know?
You go in and you
trail by his little dead corpse in a glass case,
mm-hmm,
and pay him, you know, mm-hmm, 20 yep, bucks to yep, enter the trailer.
To walk yeah. through, yeah.
yeah.
Have your picture taken yeah. or something, like on the roller coaster snapshot, keep moving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I just find it hilarious. And the other little side note about Manson is, see, Manson thought he was never going to die.
Well, yeah.
That was the other thing. He thought he couldn't die. So the fact that that's what she wanted, I think, pissed him off even more. So he's like, ixnay on the wedding, eh? Right.
She's probably lucky that he didn't have anybody on the outside to take care of her. I mean,
well, yeah.
as in...
Yeah.
Rubber
yes.
out.
Yeah. I know. But so anyway, what I was going to say was that I feel like there's always somebody looking to make the quick buck or owning a letter from Gacy or Kemper or some killer. I mean, I find it, I wouldn't want to touch it. I'm afraid I would barf on the spot, you know, or maybe they think that the killers are somehow going to impart something to them that they'd never told anybody before, right? Ooh, he's going to give me a secret. I'm special.
I really think they're sad women who think these guys are, they kind of hold them up. I mean, some of them think that Ramirez is actually handsome, and he's kind of creepy looking to me. He looks satanic.
Oh my God.
So,
there's
know.
Just, he's just.
They're lonely, lonely people who.
That's right. That's true. Well,
these
I was trying.
Guys fill a spot for them, you know?
Right. And I don't have that empty spot in me. So that's why I was trying to.
It's full.
Look at other, yeah, I got plenty of full. I was trying to look at other aspects of why, you know, maybe just for knowing something nobody else knows. I think these, or maybe
I think
having,
they're just nuts.
Well, I'm trying to be.
You're trying to be nice, and
saying
what everybody out there wants to say. You're nuts.
I know they are. I know. But hey, everyone's looking for love, right?
That's
Come
true.
On. Everybody wants
Even
love.
Even if it's from a guy that's killed 38 women.
But he loves me. No matter what, I really think deep down that all of this logic is pretty flawed, right?
Yeah. In this world, there are just evil people. And there are people who are attracted to evil people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's been throughout history, you know, and I don't get it either.
I don't get it. But I mean, I just don't want to be that close to the flame. Mm-mm. And there is, you know, there's people will say, well, you know, if you want to write somebody, get a P.O. box and change your name and da-da-da-da-da. No, it's not worth it. I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that. I'm very, very fascinated and curious about your brain, but the deep down gory tactics of it, no, I don't need to be that up close and personal. But I wanted to also mention a show that is called Love After Lockup. If y'all want to check that out, I think... I want to say it's on a channel I don't have, but I found out about it. I think it's on Prime. But
Amazon Prime?
Because I don't think I have that, because I don't have it, but I happened to come across it and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So anyway, if y'all want to check that out, if you want to dive into maybe why those chicks think it's so hot to have these men in jail, it's called Love After Lockup.
And if you're one of those women and want to contact us and tell us why you're so attracted to that person who's killed dozens of people and is sitting on death row, go for it.
Yeah, we'd be happy to talk to you, and we are not going to be judgmental, even though we have our opinions. We'll be nice.
Yeah, I can be nice, even if I think you're a little nutty. But,
well, you know, everybody has their reasons, and we'd be happy to hear from you. It would be kind of interesting. So that's my fascination for our Forensic Friday. And any thoughts y'all have, let us know. And we'll see you on Monday on Two Chicks and a Crucifix for some alien fun and possibly some werewolf / hairy critters fun.
And then on next Tuesday, we're going to have Kudzu Killers about the Jeff Davis murders, the Jeff Davis 8.
So do you want to mention that? Yeah, do you want to mention what that is, Kim, briefly?
Nope, they'll know.
Oh, okay.
If they don't, they'll go look it up. I know our peeps. If they don't know it, they'll go look it up.
Okay, well, I'm really excited. I can't wait. So you guys have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. And don't bury the bodies without us.
Bye-bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.